Father Yahweh, we come before you again on this your high holy Sabbath day, day of honor, glory, and praise to your name, to give, Father, the love which you've manifested to us back to you. We thank you for your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and for his great sacrifice. And as we look, Father, into your word, we ask that you would bless each and every one of your servants, that they would give themselves completely to you. Because truly you are worthy, Father, of our praise. You're worthy of our love. And each and everything that we can give honor and glory and praise to you, you're worthy of. Help us, Father, to gain a better understanding of your word, that we might humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace to receive the implanted word that you've prepared for us this day. Truly we know, Father, that we are in the last days, and that there's not much time left in this world. And things are going to speed up. Things are going to get crazier. But we ask that you would keep your people on the narrow way. Keep your people walking in truth in the pathways of Yahshua the Messiah. Help each one of us, Father, to show love one to another, even to our enemy, that we might overcome this world and be in your kingdom. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. This message is entitled, Blessed Above All People. Almighty Yahweh's people are blessed above all people. We'll start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. In verse 14 it says, You shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And Yahweh will take away from you all sickness. And none of the evil diseases of Egypt will he put upon you. But he will lay them on all that hate you. And you shall consume all peoples that Yahweh Elohim shall deliver to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, neither shall you serve the Elohim, for that will be a snare to you. We know that Yahweh has delivered to his people the blessings. All the blessings that are in this world. Now, we know that there are curses as well if we don't do what's right before Almighty Yahweh's eyes. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22, it says, For if you shall diligently keep every commandment which I command you, to do it, to love Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him. So you see, if we keep Yahweh's commandments, we show him that we love him. Sort of like the relationship that a husband has for his wife, or a wife has for her husband. They endure some hardships, they go through some changes in life, but they're committed to one another. And see, in that commitment to one another, there's a fidelity in their relationship. And that fidelity says that they will not become someone else's husband or wife through that act of, you know, what bonds them, what makes them husband and wife. Because if they go out and do that, they break that bond of the relationship. Just like if we go out and worship other Elohim, other mighty ones, then we are no longer in that bond to Yahweh. We can't say that we're any longer Yahweh's people. And this is what happened to Israel. See? They went outside of that. They started to worship the mighty ones of the nations around Israel. They wanted to be like their neighbors. See? And as long as you try to be like someone else, you can't be true to that love that you have, whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, or Yahweh, your Elohim. You have to be determined to love him. And if you love him, then you're going to keep his commandment. Because it says here in Deuteronomy 11:22, "But if you shall diligently keep every commandment which I command you to do it, to love Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him." See, Yahshua said in John 10, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And where did he get the commandment from? His Father in heaven. It was his Father's commandment. He says it was an old commandment because it was from the beginning. Verse 23 of Deuteronomy 11. "Then Yahweh will drive out all these nations from among you, from before you. And you shall dispossess nations greater and mightier than you." Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea shall be your border. There shall be no man able to stand before you. Yahweh Elohim shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has spoken. Now I want to tell you today, brother, and I want you to understand something. Israel never inherited that land. They inherited part of it. They never inherited all of it because they never controlled to the Euphrates River where Iran is today, where Babylon of old was. That's what it says in here, that they would have the land from the Mediterranean, okay, down to the border of Egypt, all the way to the Euphrates. You look at Israel from the days of its inception until today, they still have not owned or had the land beyond that little strip of land that is over, bordered by Syria, bordered by Jordan, to the east and to the north, Lebanon and Syria. Their land has never gone beyond that over to where Babylon was in the past, where the river Euphrates run as the border. So what does that tell you? Yahweh's promise is the shore. You understand? Israel is going to own that land. They're going to control it. They're going to occupy it. They're going to expand what we know as Israel today to a greater Israel. Verse 26, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandment of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you this day. And the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known." See, we know Yahweh because we've entered into the covenant with Yahweh. And what he's telling us to do is to walk in his truth. Keep every commandment which I command you. We can't pick and choose which ones we want to keep. And too many people out there, that's what they want to do. "Oh, I'm going to do this. I'll keep the Sabbath, but I ain't keeping the feast day." You understand? Like it's not a part of the covenant. It is. If we want to receive the blessing, then we have to keep the covenant. We have to walk in His truth all the days of our life. See, that's our hope, to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, to be a part of eternity. We have to overcome this life. Numbers chapter 24. Numbers 24, we'll start at verse 1. Now, this message is entitled, Blessed Above All People. You understand? Yahweh's people, known as Israel, okay, and we have to be spiritual Israel, overcoming, are blessed above all people. In verse 1, it says, when Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to meet with enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes. And the spirit of Elohim came upon him, and he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, said, and the man whose eye was closed said, he says, who hears the words of El, who sees the vision of the Almighty. He was in a vision at that time. He was prophesying because Yahweh's spirit had came upon him. Falling down and having his eyes open, how good are your tabernacles, your tents, O Jacob? Your tabernacles, O Israel, as valleys are spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as lie alone, which Yahweh has planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. You see, as the valleys represented, they have water flowing through them. The gardens by the riverside, they have access to that water. It's all about water. You understand? This day is represented by water. The Holy Spirit was poured forth like water. You understand? From the throne of Yahweh. Yahshua said, I am poured out like water. The Jews have a libation service on this day, on the last great day, where they pour water from the temple. They would take pitchers of water and pour down the steps, and it would just flow and flow and flow. See, because it was represented of the Holy Spirit. And see, Balaam was seeing this. He was seeing Yahweh touching and blessing Israel. Because everything that he's talking about, that lie alone, which Yahweh has planted as the cedar trees beside the waters, water shall flow from his bucket. And his seed shall be in many waters. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. He brings him forth out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of the wild ox. And we know the ox represents Ephraim and Manasseh. He shall eat up the nations, his adversaries, and shall break their bones in pieces, and pierce through them with his arrows. He crouched, he lay down as a lion, and as a lioness, who shall rouse him up? Blessed be everyone that blesses you, and cursed be everyone that curses you. So you receive your blessings by blessing Israel. You receive curses by cursing Yahweh's people. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, and we'll look at verses 18 to 22. Therefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. One of the things that most people are looking for is peace in their life. You know, they'll give up wealth, they'll give up the riches as long as they have peace. They want to reside peacefully. They don't want strife and contention in their life. So he says, therefore, you shall do my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and you shall dwell in the land safely. In safety. And the land shall yield its fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell in its safety. Now, we're in a sabbatical year. We can't plant this year. We can't have our gardens except that which grows of itself. See? That which comes up of itself, we can eat. But we can't plant a garden this year. We can have the volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, whatever comes up of itself, we can eat. You know? So Yahweh is giving us a blessing for being his people. And he's going to bless us with that which we have need of, brother. All we have to do is be faithful. You understand? If we're faithful, we will receive these blessings. But if we're not, we're going to receive the curse. Now, verse 20. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? We're in the seventh year. Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for the 3 years. So you should have enough fruit for what Yahweh gave us in our harvest this year to last the seventh and the eighth into when we get our crops in the ninth year. Remember, we can't plant next year, right? This year, the seventh year. So we're in the fall. In the spring, when most people would plant, we can't plant. We can't plant until the spring after. See? So what harvest we have, will have to last. And we have to trust that Yahweh will bless, just like we asked him to bless the offering and make it more than enough to do the things that he wants us to do. We have to depend on him to bless our bounty from our harvest, from whatever trees we have planted on our property, and whatever fruit that grows of itself, whatever volunteers that come. And see, this is something that a lot of people are going to be challenged by. But Yahweh's Spirit is going to be a blessing to each one of us, because we're going to receive that fruit. We're going to receive that harvest that we're looking for. In verse 22 it says, and you shall sow in the eighth year. After sabbatical, that next year, come around, we plant, we sow. And eat the fruit of the old store until the ninth year, until the harvest comes in. It says, until the fruits come in, you shall eat the old store. So Yahweh's given us that old store to eat the fruits of. He loves us. He's given us instructions on how to survive, how we're going to receive a blessing. First Kings chapter 8. Blessed above all people is the title of this message. First Kings chapter 8, and we'll start in 54. Verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer, and supplication to Yahweh, he arose from before the altar of Yahweh, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread forth toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be Yahweh that has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised by Moses his servant. Yahweh, our Elohim, is with us, as he was with our father. Do not let him leave us or forsake us. Now, Yahweh is not going to forsake his people who are keeping his covenant, who are walking in his truth. He will forsake you if you turn and worship the mighty ones of this world, if you don't trust him enough to keep the sabbatical year. You understand? This is why we do our best. We try to do what Yahweh has commanded. Verse 57. Yahweh, our Elohim, is with us as he was with our father. Do not let him leave us or forsake us. We don't want Yahweh to withdraw from us. We want to be in his presence at all times. Verse 58, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his ordinances, which he commanded our Father. And let these my words, with which I have made supplication or prayer before Yahweh, be near Yahweh, our Elohim, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as every day it shall require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that Yahweh, he is Elohim and there is no one else. And this is why we're here. See, there's a distinction that's made between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. The people of this world do not make that distinction. They'll eat a rabbit. They'll eat a squirrel. They'll eat the unclean thing. They're not willing to keep Yahweh's command completely. Verse 59, and let these words, like he says, come before Yahweh. And when we pray, that's what we want. We want Yahweh to hear our prayer. But he doesn't hear the prayer of the sinners, brother. He'll hear the prayer of a repentant sinner, his righteous people, his seed that do his commandments. Like in verse 60, it says, that all the peoples of the earth may know that Yahweh, he is Elohim and there is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with Yahweh, our Elohim, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Now, our job is to fulfill the Eliyah message, to go out into all the byways, all the nations, according to Matthew 28:16-20. Yahshua gave the Great Commission for us to go forth and preach this message and baptize the people. Okay? There's some unity there. They are being added to the flock. They're being added to the group. This is just not a mismatch of, you know, not organized. No. Yahshua is in control. He's at the head of this organization. There is unity here. There is government. As I said earlier in the message, you know, Yahweh wants something done. And if he tells me he wants this done, and I tell Peter, the bishop over in Kenya, that he needs to go into some hot area where Ebola is over in Nigeria, without hesitation, I'm sure he'll go. Because he trusts Yahweh, and he knows that Yahweh is going to protect him. He might have to go over there to heal people. You understand? But we have congregations popping up left and right. We have people that want to join this organization. See, they're coming to the website. They're saying, send some help. Send someone to teach us, to preach to us, to baptize us. And that's what happened in Malawi. So I sent Peter over to Malawi. He took with him two elders, Elder Julius from Bomet and Elder Edward, who's from Lumumba. And they went, like I said, on a bus. 4 days, or I know it was 5 days coming back, so it's probably 4 days. So they spent 9 days on the bus. And this is not the mega bus. This is a little rougher. And sometimes they stopped because they wouldn't travel at night because of the bandits and all of that, you know. They'll put a barrier out on the road that the bus can't get by, the spikes, and then with guns, rob everybody. See? And that's why you don't travel at night. See? So, again, Yahweh protected them. They did get a little robbed on the way back. They got taken for a little bit of money because they weren't able to use the money from Malawi or Kenya in Tanzania. They had to travel through Tanzania, and I believe they stopped there for the night, and they had to change some currency. And the person that was supposed to be changing the currency took them for the money. So they ended up, I believe, sleeping on the bus because they couldn't get a hotel room or whatever, and they traveled. But see, Yahweh protected their life. They did get what they had. They accomplished their mission. Because when they went to Malawi, they planted a seed. The people that called them, okay, the people that called them didn't come into the faith. It was someone else that came from them that they had called that came to the faith. See, it wasn't the one that actually we went to preach to because he didn't take care of them. He put them up in the house and left them. Sleeping on the floor, no sleeping bags, no, and it was cold, no blankets. You know, I just left them in a cold house. But see, Yahweh blessed them because the one person that they, who is now our elder there in Malawi, got a hold of them. And he took them to his house and then took care of them. Because that's where Yahweh can't come in. He will take care of his people. And that's what he did. And the word spread. So then the group started to grow because the man, Dizzy, in Malawi, says, okay, we have brethren in all these different places I want you to come to. Now, they tried to bring all the brethren together because they didn't have the time or the wherewithal to travel. But Peter did get on that bike and ride 5 hours to Gouda from the center or Palombe district. And that's what I'm saying. This is the kind of bishop you have in your faith who's willing to put his life back in Nairobi on hold to do the work of Yahweh. Now, blessed above all peoples is what we're dealing with this afternoon. In verse 41 of 1 Kings 8, it says, moreover, concerning the foreigner that is not of your people Israel, when he shall come out of a far country for your name's sake, for the name of Yahweh, for they shall hear of your great name and of your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear you in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you for, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name. And that's our job, brethren, to make sure that everyone hears of the name of Yahweh. To fear you as does your people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. Why is Israel so blessed? That's a question I need to ask. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of Yahweh and how Yahweh's people are blessed above all people. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing where with Moses, the man of Elohim, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, Yahweh came from Sinai and rose from Seir to them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the 10,000s of holy ones. At his right hand was a fiery law for them. Yes, he loved the people. All his saints are in your hand, and they sat down at your feet. Everyone shall receive your words. Moses commanded of the law, an inheritance for the assembly of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, the upright one. When the heads of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Almighty Yahweh has revealed himself to his people. Not just in this age, in the ages past. And I have a question for you. When I asked about Israel, why is Israel so blessed? Israel was the given name to Jacob, Yaakov. In Genesis chapter 35, turn over there. We'll see a passage, Genesis 35, starting in verse 1. And Elohim said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, the house of Elohim, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto El, who appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the foreign Elohim from among you, and purify yourself and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto El, who answered me in the day of my distress. Yahweh is there for us when we're in distress, brethren. He truly is there for us, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave to Jacob all the foreign Elohim which were in their hand, and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of Elohim was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And the reason that, you know, he was worried about them pursuing, because Levi and Simeon had killed the men of Shechem, okay, because they had mistreated Dinah, their sister. But just like Yahweh tells us, we're away from home. He says that no man will desire your property when you go to keep the feast. We don't have to worry about what's going on back at home. Yahweh is blessing his people. See, blessed above all people. Just like he blessed Jacob and his entourage, his group, his people, his family, that were traveling with him. Verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, the same as Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there Elohim was revealed to him when he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried below Bethel under the oak, and the name of it was Alon Bakut. And Elohim appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. He blessed Jacob. And Elohim said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel. And Elohim said to him, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of you. And kings shall come out of your loins. And the land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, to you I will give it. And to your seed, after you will I give the land. And Elohim went up from him in the place where he spoke with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he spoke with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where Elohim spoke with him, Bethel. Yahweh blessed Jacob, changed his name because he had power with the angels. Remember, he wrestled with an angel. How often do we wrestle with Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh? You understand? You have to have a relationship. You have to talk with Yahweh. How often do we talk with Yahweh? Did we start our day this morning in prayer? Speaking with Yahweh? See, we should be more cognizant of it now that we're in the type of kingdom of Yahweh, the Feast of Tabernacles, the last great day. But we should pray every day, as often as we can. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 67. Blessed above all peoples is the title of this message. In verse 67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, for he has visited and worked redemption for his people. And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Salvation from our enemy and from the hand of all that hate us. To show mercy towards our Father, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemy, should serve him without fear. See, any time that we're in a crunch or a difficult situation, we need to turn to Yahweh. We need to put Yahweh first. We need to trust in him because he's the one that gives us our deliverance. The oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, should serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Yes, you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. But you shall go before the face of Yahweh to make ready his way. Now, John the Baptist, the son that he's talking about, right, was a type of Eliah. He was a forerunner, which we have to be a type of Eliah, because we're going before Yahshua to the world. To let the world know that Yahshua is soon coming, king upon this earth. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the remission of their sins. So they have to repent. But somebody got to tell them to repent. They got to bring it to their understanding. Because of the tender mercy of our Elohim, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing to Israel. He had to be revealed. He was the son of a priest. 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke 2:25, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, the Holy Spirit hasn't been given, and Acts chapter 2 hasn't happened yet. But Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, had the Holy Spirit. Simeon had the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Yahweh's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Yahshua, that they might do concerning him after the custom of the law. Then he received him into his arms and blessed Elohim and said, now let your servant depart, my superior, according to your word in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, behold, this child is set for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Yes, and the sword shall pierce through your own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. See, Almighty Yahweh prepares people. He gets them ready for what is coming to pass. Yahshua was just born, okay? But Simeon was ready. He had been prepared. We have to be prepared for what Yahweh wants us to do in these last days. The world, as you heard in the sermon earlier, is upside down. The people can't see straight. They don't know how to regulate themselves because they don't have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. But Yahweh's people who have His Spirit are ready. They're regulated. Turn over to John chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 12. We saw where Yahshua was just born. Now we see towards the end of his ministry. John 12:12. On the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Yahshua was coming to Jerusalem. Remember, he had come right 6 months before to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Jews were seeking to kill him. But they weren't successful because it wasn't his time yet. So now it's that time. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover is about to happen. See, John 7 was where tabernacle was taking place. And that last great day when he told them to come to me and drink of the Spirit, the water. But when they heard that Yahshua was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of trees and went forth to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh, even the King of Israel. And Yahshua, having found a young ass, sat on it. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold your king comes, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Yahshua was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. The multitude, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this cause also the multitude went and met him, for they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, behold, you prevail nothing. Lo, the world has gone after him. Now therefore there were certain Greeks among those that went up to worship at the feast. Came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we want to see Yahshua. Philip comes and tells Andrew. Andrew comes to Philip, and they tell Yahshua. And Yahshua answered them, saying, the hour has come. The Son of Man should be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, except the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He that loves his life loses it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it to eternal life eternal. If any man may serve me, let him follow me where I am. There shall also my servant be. If any man may serve me, him will the Father honor. Now, we, as Yahweh's people, are blessed above all people. We're following Yahshua to the kingdom, to life everlasting, to eternity, because we've chosen the good part. We've chosen Yahshua the Messiah and shown him that we love him in everything that he does. Now, if this means that we have to give our life to that kingdom, so be it. If it means that he's going to call us up to meet him in the air, those who are left alive, so be it. We want to be blessed above all the peoples of the earth because we have chosen Yahshua as our Savior. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of you as you continue to serve him. Would you all please rise at this time for a closing prayer? I'm going to ask could you have, Quincy, I'd like to ask Brother Yaboni to close with a word of prayer. Yaboni. Is he available, Quincy, to pray? He must be muted, not on this end. Can you unmute?
Okay. Are you in us now?
Yes, because you were muted. Can you have your bony closed with a word of prayer?
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Almighty and everlasting Father Yahweh in heaven. Father Yahweh, we give you thanks and we give you praise for this opportunity that we could come before you to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father Yahweh, for your mercy and your love and your spirit. We thank you for your son, Yahshua. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters around the world that take this time off, Father Yahweh, to give you thanks. Father Yahweh, we ask you to bless us in a special way. Continue to strengthen us and continue to educate us, Father Yahweh, in your word. We thank you, Father Yahweh, for giving us the breath of life, giving us, Father Yahweh, this opportunity which the world do not have. And Father Yahweh, we ask you to keep us strong and to keep us healthy, to keep us in one love, one peace, and one unity, and allow us to stay focused, Father Yahweh. Allow us to seek you first with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And Father Yahweh, help us to pray for one another and encourage one another to hold on, to stay in this word, stay in the spirit, and stay amongst the brothers and sisters who trust in you, Father Yahweh, and help us to stay focused to the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who died on Calvary and promised us that he is going to prepare a place for us, that wherever he is, we may be also. And Father Yahweh, you say to encourage one another in these words and allow us to be under your power, under your spirit, that we will walk as Yahshua had walked. And Father Yahweh, we depend on you that you will keep us and that you will strengthen us and that you will give us your spirit in these last days. And allow us to open our heart and open our mind that we can receive your spirit. Father Yahweh. Look down upon us and keep us under your wing. And wherever we go, we ask you to go with us and protect us through the day, through the night. Protect us from all evil and all falseness and all things that is not leading to the kingdom of heaven. But you take charge and take control and use us for your honor and for your glory. As I pray out this blessing, Father Yahweh, in the name of Son Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Conference muted.
For our closing song, we're going to sing number 60, Let Your Glory Fall. That's number 60, Let Your Glory Fall.
Father of creation, I hold your promises and praise of the children of the nation that will march through the earth.
For our benediction, if you'll take your psalm and collective scriptures, turn with me to page 146. We'll read Revelation 14, 1 to 5. That's page 146, Revelation 14, 1 to 5, ending with hallelujah. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice which I heard was the voice of harpers playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and the elders. And no man can learn the song except 144,000. Who had been purchased from the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits of the earth and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Hallelujah. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. We're still in the holy time until tomorrow evening. But again, this evening we have just the teen talk and the women conference. Thank you. Shalom. Yahweh bless you.